All of our patrons will automatically qualify for our exclusive prize draw. At the end of the season, 8 of them will be randomly selected and written into one of the thrilling chapters of Season 5. To enter, click the link in our description and sign up as a patron today.
The flickering of a flame can evoke so many sensations and atmospheres. In some uses, the candlelight flitters on the fireplace embers can be warm, welcome, and romantic, filling the air with a lustful ambience. Amongst the campfire tales of scary stories, those embers can burn with a sinister glow, and those candles can flicker like the spirits we try to contact in a haunting environment. Like the other elements of our world, the flame itself is highly diverse and features in many stories. We all know the dangers of fire and understand the chaotic destruction it can bring. However, many throughout history have witnessed a blue flame that did not sit amongst the embers of chaos as we would expect. And sightings continue to this day. It is often said that these blue flickers of flame, floating amongst the darkness ahead of them, were, in fact, very much alive and aware of the human interaction nearby. My name is Luke Mordew, and this modern myth is Willow the Wisp. Willow the Wisp has existed amongst tales for hundreds of years, living amongst the realms of European folklore since the 14th century at least. They remained in the zeitgeist due to the number of sightings and just how prolific they are in many locations worldwide. They appear as ghostly light, often seen by travelers at night, most commonly over England, Northern Europe, and Australia's bogs, swamps, and marshes. The ethereal, elusive beings are as mysterious as they are mesmerizing, with different theories, beliefs, and agendas living amongst their blue glow, depending on whereabouts you are in the world. Some believe them to be nothing more than fascinating yet fully understood atmospheric scientific phenomena. Others believe them to be fairies. Some understand them to be spirits of those past, whilst others believe them to be their own small, fiery species. Small blue flames hovering a few feet above the ground, the Will-O-The-Wisp have been described as surprisingly cold to the touch, with a lack of flickering amongst the flame that emits that famous, enchanting glow. They are understood to live amongst dangerous places in the countryside, often marshlands, swamps, and bogs, where their mystical blue glow would lead reckless travelers to two very different outcomes, depending on who's telling the story. These strange creatures are said to have led travelers to hidden treasures that would change their fortune for years to come, whilst others have been noted to lure travelers away from the safety of the path ahead, leading them straight to their graves. They are tricksters living between the lands of our plane and the mystical world of spirits and otherworldly beings. Over time, stories would spread and be shared widely of the treacherous blue flames with no logical explanation for their existence or agendas. One of the many tales of the creatures tells the story of a peasant making his way through the countryside, watching the sun setting in the distance. The sky was turning to a navy in the west, with the east already disappearing into the night. The peasant was making his way home after working away to try and make some money to feed his poor family. The darkness was, of course, concerning, although this man had walked home in the shadow of the night a few times before in similar situations. He knew the way well, just as long as he remained on the track of the path he had traveled down so many times before. However, this man may have been accustomed to this path and considered himself alert. He was still unprepared for the walk ahead. This night quickly changed its course into something new, as he noticed the blue glow of a fire hovering slightly above the ground just off the pathway ahead. He'd never seen anything like it before. It was too bright to be a candle, too blue to be a natural fire, and yet there it was, an unflickering blue ember floating above the ground. He stopped in his tracks for a moment, mesmerized by its haunting beauty, before taking a step ahead to approach it. It was only when he had edged ever so slightly closer that he began to notice something else. This otherworldly glow was emitting from the inside of a lantern. The lantern was being held by a strange, shadowy, dusty-looking creature watching him from the darkness ahead. It turned, venturing deeper into the wilderness, taking its enchanting blue light with it as it headed throughout the shrubbery. The man, feeling an instant need to see more, filled with a sudden obsession with the ethereal glow, had begun to follow, as if its cold embers had hypnotized the traveler into a trance-like state, so much so that the man had not even considered that he had, in fact, just walked several miles, simply strolling behind the blue flame as he studied it. Finally, the mysterious creature stopped in his tracks and turned to the man again. He snapped out of his trance, confused about where he had been led. He looked down and noticed that he was now standing at the edge of a large chasm, a vicious stream of water splashing its way through the rocks below in its violent current. With this, the creature smiled and blew out the blue light in its lantern, cackling with a menacing laugh. The man was engulfed by the night's darkness, miles from home, lost, and on the literal edge of death. The origins of the light's name are unclear, although it seems to be connected to the Swedish word wisp, which means a small, lit bundle of sticks, whilst the will could derive from the Saxon word wile, that means fraud, trick, or deceit. Although, it could simply be Willow the Wisp, translating quite literally as Will of the Torch. Even the name of our yearly visits from the jack-o'-lanterns we carve each Halloween gather their name from the urban legend of Willow the Wisp. In British folklore, the Will-o'-the-Wisp is known as evil and menacing. The Welsh believed that the light was of fairy fire, held in the hand of a pooka. This was a goblin-like fairy, tiny in size, that would lead lone travelers off the beaten track at night, where it would finally extinguish its flame, leaving them lost amongst the darkness, as I had just described. Other tales suggest that the creatures are, in fact, guardians of treasure, much like the Irish leprechauns, leading those brave enough to follow them into riches. This, of course, created even more mystery and excitement to their existence. As if you were to ever witness one and follow, you could be walking to riches or your death. Some stories suggest that your fortune with these creatures is not always down to luck. The Will-o'-the-Wisp would either lead you astray to die or out to safety, depending on how you treat the creature at first. In Belgium and the Netherlands, the Will-o'-the-Wisp are, in fact, the lost spirits of unbaptized children flitting between heaven and hell. In Sweden, one idea is that the Will-o'-the-Wisp are unbaptized souls trying to lead travelers to water in the hopes that they can finally be baptized and leave our plane for good. The legend of these creatures' existence have now ventured further afield from Britain and mainland Europe, most likely due to the colonization and empiric nature of some of our European countries' histories. As previously mentioned, the Will-o'-the-Wisp had also traveled as far as Australia. Though interestingly, these creatures, known there as Min Min Light amongst the Outback after dark, had lived amongst the stories of the Aboriginal people of Australia long before any Western settlement had arrived. In Mexico and Illinois, the phenomenon has been named Fofale. This creature holds similarities to the Will-O-The-Wisp and arrived at the shores of the USA with the French. In Argentina and Uruguay, the Will-O-The-Wisp are known as Luz Mal, translating as evil light. In Trinidad and Tobago, they are known as Sucayant, a fireball witch, that is, quite literally, a witch that takes the form of a flame at night. A similar occurrence of light phenomena consistently happening over history has also appeared throughout Asia. Known as Alaya or marsh ghost light, these beings are often seen by Bangladesh and West Bengal fishers. Shirbati is described very similarly as a strange dancing light phenomenon occurring on the Barney grasslands and marshy salt flats of the Reign of Kutch near the India-Pakistan border. In Japan, similar phenomena has been described throughout Japanese folklore, including Hitodama, Abereg, Kumonbi, Ushionibi, and more, all described as balls of flame or light associated with graveyards and the spirits of those past. Although many folktales of the years gone by are nothing more than dark fairy tales once told through families, eventually passing down through generations until they become fully fledged urban legends of our time, these little blue flames seem to be more than that. Over a very long period, there have been sightings and descriptions by an extensive group of people. Although there are no clear answers on this phenomenon, or if it even truly exists, scientists have still taken it seriously enough to study. Much like my favorite cases of urban legends, the stories surrounding these lights may be entirely fictional, but the lights themselves seem to be natural.
If you've been listening to my show for some time now, you'll have most likely noticed that there's large gaps between seasons. I often receive comments, messages, and emails from listeners requesting our return, and I do sincerely wish that these gaps could be shorter. You see, when delving into the captivating tales of folklore and urban legends, there's a lot to uncover, and it's extremely important to me that we maintain our standard of accuracy. But this takes time. I create this content and release it for free, and this won't change, but the show does require support. So if you love what we do and you want to be part of Urban Legends' continued expansion, then you can join us over at Patreon by following the link in our show notes. Through Patreon, you can spare as little as £3 a month to support the show and ensure its longevity. As a Patreon supporter, you'll receive each new chapter the Friday before its official release date every week, giving you early access. On top of this, there'll be no ads, and you'll also receive a private podcast feed just for you. You'll also receive a discount code for all of our upcoming merchandise and have access to behind-the-scenes looks into our progress. You'll also have access to our group chat on the Patreon app, where you can talk to myself and others about all things folklore. And to show my gratitude, I'll personally thank each of you at the end of every chapter. The minimum cost of a subscription is less than a cup of coffee. However, I'm running this through an honor system, giving you the opportunity to give more if you wish and are able to do so. So please do give what you can. If you can't do that, or if you want to know what more you can do, then please do leave us a rating on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcast, or anywhere else you listen to our show. The more we grow, the faster these turnarounds will be. You can find out more and join us by following the Patreon link in our show notes and clicking join. So come with us and let's uncover the mysteries of urban legends together. But for now, back to the legend.
In modern science, it is widely accepted, although not wholly confirmed, that the phenomena of the will-o'-the-wisp are caused by the oxidation of phosphine, diphosphate, and methane. These compounds produced by organic decay can cause photos emissions. Since phosphine and diphosphate mixtures are known to combust in contact with the oxygen in the air spontaneously, only small quantities would be needed to ignite the much more abundant methane to create ephemeral flames. Phosphine also produces phosphorus pentoxide as a byproduct, which forms phosphoric acid upon contact with water vapor, which may be an explanation and further confirmation of the viscous moisture that is documented as being described amongst the will-o'-the-wisp. The first recorded mention of the will-o'-the-wisp appeared as far back as the year 1340, when Dafydd ap Gwilym, translated as W. Sykes, noted, "There was in every hollow 100 wry-mouthed wisps." He referred to the phenomenon in Welsh as Canwyll Corth, literally translating as corpse candle. Since then, the wisps of blue flame have survived through tales and folklore. In more recent years, venturing into literature, it was used as a metaphor in John Milton's Paradise Lost. Satan is compared to a will-o'-the-wisp when he leads Eve to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two wisps appear in Johann Wolfgang von Goethe's fairy tale, The Green Snake and the Beautiful Lily, in 1795. Emily Dickinson's Those Dying Then, a poem about the absence of God and the abdication of belief, closes with the line, "Better an ignus fatuus than no illum at all," with ignus fatuus being another name for the will-o'-the-wisp in its Latin origins. They are mentioned in Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre. They also make an appearance in the opening chapter of Bram Stoker's Dracula. They are featured amongst the dead marshes outside of Mordor in J.R.R. Tolkien's work, The Lord of the Rings, where Sméagol warns Sam and Frodo to not follow the lights, for if they do, they will keep the dead company and have little candles of their own. The Hinky Punk, a name for the will-o'-the-wisp in the southwest of England, has achieved fame as a magical beast in J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series. It also appeared in the children's fantasy series, The Spiderwick Chronicles, where the will-o'-the-wisps are described as fat fireflies that lead travelers astray, as well as prominent appearances in Pixar's Brave. This small phenomenon has lived on our shores and afar for many years, still living amongst us today in stories. Perhaps we will one day have a clear answer on a scientific phenomenon behind their existence, and perhaps we will find a connection to the narratives around the world. Or perhaps the will-o'-the-wisp will continue to appear and disappear in small areas for years to come, much like they have always been said to do.
Urban Legends is researched, written, and produced by Luke Mordew. Original score by Billy Jupp, with additional sounds from storyblocks.com. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, click subscribe on your chosen podcast provider and delve into the mysteries of our previous and future chapters. To find more, including merchandise, video content, images, and more, visit urbanlegendsfolklore.com. If you have more information or a correction on something mentioned in this chapter, please get in touch through our website. We aim to ensure that all information provided is accurate and up to date, and this remains a top priority. If you want to support the show, receive early access, and have more of a say in what we do, then become a patron by clicking the link in our show notes. For these chapters in video format, simply search Urban Legends Folklore on YouTube. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, and join our Facebook group by searching Urban Legends Folklore.